Hey, JB.
What's up?
Don't stop.
Keep pouring?
Keep pouring, my friend.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition here of The Last Drop. I am your godfather of whiskey. I'm JB.
I am the godfather of craft beer, Cody.
And we got the master tequila owner, distiller, everything that he does or whatever. Here at Cabal, my friend, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. Guys, thank you, gentlemen, for having me. Thank you, Godfathers, for having me on your show. I appreciate it. I love that you, were so gracious. You both were so gracious enough to bless us with a month of talking about our brand. But just happy to be here, man.
Man, we originally were going to do a Cascanes month, and I don't remember how we switched it to Cabal. I think it's because you gave us the tip of you gave me the tip to where to find these, the Reposados at.
Oh, yeah.
And I think your Extra Añejo is one of the top five Extra Añejos out there when I reviewed it last year, man. It was so good, dude. I just reached out to my buddy Cody and just said, fuck that Cascanes. Let's just do the Cabal month, man. That's just such good product.
Yep. And I said, say less. Yeah. Any more convincing.
My co-host here, I don't have to really do much to convince him. I can just say something good or whatever. He'll be like, yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
No, it means a lot, man, because Cascanes is it's a good brand and good stuff. So, you know, I think there's a whole family of us that, you know, do things a certain way.
Man, I fell in love with your Extra Añejo and your regular Añejo but when we met at Tequila Fest last year,
yeah,
I rushed to try your mezcal, man, and I know Cody probably was looking at me like, why is this dude like a crackhead for this mezcal or whatever and shit, because I heard so much great things, and when I got to try it, dude, I don't think anything had compared to anything I sipped that whole day.
Yeah, and that means a lot, man. I actually, I do tell people that, and I have a bunch of mezcals with me, man. Half of my collection is almost mezcals. Wow. I'm a huge fan, and that's what was different about that one. Every 3 years, I'm going to go to a different piece of Mexico and work with the master distiller and the Palenque and the people to create a brand new one. What a lot of brands do, and I, obviously business is business, but this is not the way I operate. They go to a Palenque and then they try something out of the tank and they go, I like that. Let me slap a label on it. And all of a sudden they have a mezcal. This was not that. For 6 years and over 20 batches, I developed that mezcal from scratch. So I always tell people, even if you've tried 1,000 mezcals, you have not tried something like this.
No.
Because it is very intentionally done differently. Even people that quote unquote don't like mezcal, I turn them onto it because it doesn't have those typical characteristics that maybe people shy away from when it comes to mezcal. And I think there's some new up-and-coming new blood coming up that are doing methods. There's a method that's using mezcal, refrescadora. And I think that's the future of the method. It pretty much takes a lot of the smokiness and kind of the charcoalness of the mezcal. Mm-hmm. And it kind of highlights a little bit more because of the way it funnels into the distillation, highlights more of the agave. So I think the new blood is doing a lot of good stuff. But man, mezcal's a whole other game. And, you know, as a fan of agave, obviously I'm a tequilero, but as a fan of agave, I try to be a student of the entire game.
I know with the new batches that you've been releasing, you moved to a different NOM, which is 1646. And if I'm not mistaken, yeah, the horse heads were 1484, was it?
Correct. 1480.
1480. And so I guess my question to stay on the mezcal thing, is there going to be a Jaguar 2.0?
Yes and no. So this Salmiana that you're trying, I probably won't have for probably a decade.
Reason to live longer then. Okay.
Yeah. That's funny, man. It's actually, I met this artist that reminded me of a joke. I met this artist in Mexico and he's actually helped me. The people that behind the potro, the horse.
Yeah.
I drew in P-O-T-R-O. Into that horse, but essentially the horse, I use it for Cabal as well. It's an artist there in Mexico. He's an awesome dude, and he's like, yeah, you know what, I'm vegan. I'm like, oh, that's great, man. I hear people that are vegan, we were offering him food. He's like, no, I'm vegan. He wasn't like volunteering out of nowhere. But he was just like, yeah, I'm like, that's great, man. People that usually are vegan eat plants, they live longer. He's like, yeah, man, that's the only downside. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, talk about dark humor. So when you said that, it kind of reminded me of him. But no, every 3 years, I'm going to highlight a different piece of Mexico. The next one that I'm coming out from is going to be from Guerrero. Next year is going to be released, and it's an ensemble of a different mezcal. I think it's I'm really happy with the progress so far. So I'll come up with a different mezcal every 3 years from a different piece of Mexico, and it'll be a small limited run, and that's it. Because I am a tequila brand, not a mezcal brand, but at the end of the day, I am an agave fan.
Yeah,
and the mezcal project is just a project of mine.
I guess the next release I wanted to ask you about then, which is, I probably like it more than the mezcal, is that Extra Añejo. Will you be making another batch of that to replicate the new batches of your...
That Extra Añejo will never be replicated in the way that I made it. Because when I first started the company, I launched with a Blanco Repo and an Extra Añejo, not right away, but a Blanco Repo. And then... about a year in, when they were ready, when I first started the whole project, it took me 6 years to get to market. So I had already kind of planned out the Blanco, the Repo, and then I was like, I'm going to have some Extra Añejo and the Dark Horse, because that's, it was a special thing for me. And it was about, I don't remember if it was 14 or 18 barrels, but I think it was 18 barrels. I'm pretty sure it was 18 barrels that I had for Extra Añejo. And I paid for those barrels up front. Like, there's a lot of things that I've handpicked every single one of those barrels. So I won't be able to replicate that, because I won't be able to replicate those exact barrels that I reproduced.
Mm-hmm.
We are still doing an Extra Añejo with more French oak. So the one that you have now doesn't have French oak. Mm-hmm. So I am always saying that I'm always going to at least try to improve. So it won't taste the same, but I won't release anything unless I think it's at that level.
Gotcha. I agree.
So it might be great. I will release only if I think it's great. So everyone else will decide if it is or it isn't great.
Every time I see you, man, and we try this, which I've only seen you like 3 times now, but I think one of them I was stalking your van, because I know you had the goods on that van. one thing I can say, man, your products, I don't think you give yourself enough credit. It's like up there with the higher tier brands of all the tequilas out there. We've been doing a month of this. We've only done 2 weeks. This is our third week now doing it. And we've given our highest ratings to your past pours that we've had these past 2 weeks. I personally don't think there's anything you could do better. I mean, if this is a batch release this year and you're releasing another batch next year or something like that, I don't even know how you could top this batch. That still strength was incredible. That Potro, as Cody, before you jumped on, I was telling him that's the most bang for your buck. And I come from the whiskey world. He comes from the beer world. We just kind of got into this tequila thing. And I got to tell you, it's probably, if you go into our center of the world, that tequila Potro, that's probably one of the best bang for your buck pours I could ever have.
Yeah, thank you for saying that, man. And I always, it's funny when we use words like improve, and it's almost like a tool, right? And you have the same tool, and over time the tool gets utilized and it gets sharpened, and it gets used more intentionally. If you look at, like, for example, if we go to soccer, and Cristiano Ronaldo, he was great. How could you be better? And yeah, as he got older, he wasn't as athletic, but he was just better at doing the things that he did. He was able to produce more with less. And I guess that's just, I've been doing this around 15 years now. And I don't consider myself a maestro yet, even though you mentioned that in the beginning. And I think I still got, 4, 5, 6 years more to go to kind of start at that. But I always want to improve the way I utilize my craft, even if the product improves or not, but just the way I utilize, the way I present it and something else. Because what is kind of cool about the structure that I'm setting up for a Cabal, at least cool to me, is that every single Blanco. Like, for example, I don't know if you've tried the 40% Blancos, but
that's the only one I haven't tried yet of your line.
So I think they're very, very unique. So every Blanco, just like the Repo, see that Repo there? In the back, it'll show you which Blanco it came from. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing. So this is that Blanco. So you could arguably have, you could find the bottle of Blanco and you could find that bottle of Repo, and then you could try them together and you could see what it was before and after the wood. Uh-huh. And I don't think you can do that with a lot of tequilas. Uh-huh. You can't find that Blanco that Repo had come from, or you don't know how to match it. I'm able to set it up so you can match it. And to me, that's kind of like a geeky thing, but I don't know. As a student of things, I would want even other brands to do this so that I can try it and kind of like explore on my own. But see, this is like one batch of Blanco and it gives you the plot of land. And then this is the second batch of Blanco and it gives you a different kind of plot of land, and they'll taste differently. So I'll go ahead and adjust knowing where it comes from, knowing what time of the year with everything, the fermentation cycle. Just things that I notice once you correct something, not correct, but when you feel like you correct something and you taste something, it's like my mind creates a mini gap of something and I try to fill that gap. So unless I fill that gap and then try it again, a new gap is created. So I guess that's what I mean by trying to, you know, make better or enhance the product.
Well, I know. Part of the reason why you switched noms too is because you wanted to experiment more with like different ways of how to ferment the yeast and stuff like that.
Just it got a little bit crowded. 1480, I think it gets people like it, people love it or hate it, and it gets a bad rap one or two ways. They feel like they've done additives there, but you know, the thing is, you know, they have an exceptional agave. They have exceptional people behind it, you know, Eladio Montes and the Montes family, excuse me, are phenomenal people and they're great people. And you know, I think people should really consider the situation of what the tequila is and what the business of tequila is before they kind of step into judge. But for us, at least, we weren't able to have as much liberty with a lot of things and the timing of things, so. You know, we had decided way back when that as soon as the new distillery was up and running by the same family, the original founder of that other one started this one, and there'll be four to six max, probably four. But, you know, if we find someone that we all like, but essentially, yeah, man, there's some brands that will be there, but we're the first brand there. We're the only ones that have our own kind of proprietary yeast, completely separate from the rest. Mm-hmm. We've definitely changed it up, and the Repo that you're trying, it's actually a proprietary blending technique that I actually implemented with special permission from the CRT. Because I actually, it's something that we learned. I learned really because I was at the forefront of it, but I learned it from, it was a theory that I was kind of talking about, and then I went to somebody in Austin and they were telling me essentially that it does work, and I implemented it. The people there in Mexico, they told me not to, and I essentially had a, you know, not sign anything, but you know, in Mexico, the way that we operate there, word is our bond. So I had a guarantee that if the batch didn't come out good, I was still going to have to pay for it. But you know, it worked out, and they were surprised. And my whole plan with the Reposado is to have a flavor profile that carried over from the beginning to the mid to the end, and it's almost like a straight line of flavor. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes one flavor goes in, and then it kind of immediately fades out. You still have the lingering flavor, but it fades out. So I wanted the effect of a high proof without the extra alcohol.
Mm. Oh, you get the influence of that. I ain't you definitely get influence on that. It lingers on that back end on the finish.
Yeah.
You really touched on something there too. Your analogy with the straight line. I never thought about it in that perspective before, but you're absolutely correct, because literally each part, beginning of the palate, the middle of the palate, the finish, it literally just keeps going. It feels like I just sipped it, even though I sipped it like 30 seconds ago.
Yeah, and that's I guess I'm really, really visual. So whenever I try anything, it kind of forms a pattern for me. So when I sip this, it just kind of goes in. It's a thick line. It goes in, and instead of like dissipating out, it just kind of carries it all the way across. So it's almost so you could pinpoint the beginning and the end, and you could just draw straight lines from both ends, and it's like right. That same consistency. At least that's what I was attempting to do. And when I tried it, I feel like we reached it. And I've since tweaked it a little bit more. So the second batch eventually I'm going to be pretty excited about as well. But it's going to be the only difference between that one and this one. It's the same barrel blends. Not the same exact barrels, but the same, I guess it's different wood, obviously, but it's the same proportions ratio. This is two parts Russell Reserve bourbon barrels.
And rye, too,
the
right?
The 10-year. Yeah, one part Russell Reserve rye and one part Old Elk bourbon barrels. Yeah. And that same proportion is going to be reapplied again, but with one more month of aging.
Okay, man, that's going to be insane. Because one thing that stood out to me with this Reposado above any other Reposados I've had recently was the wood character on this thing. Insane. Yeah,
you get those Russell Reserve though. Like when I first sipped on this, I said this got to be aged in like bourbon barrels or something like that. And when I looked it up, sure enough, it was with the Russell Reserve. And I was like, it makes sense. I don't want to say we disliked Reposados or whatever, but yours was the first one I bought this year, and it just tasted so unique and different compared to any other Reposado I've had of last year, to where it just made me like appreciate it more. And I know this year, I think last year was like the year of the high proofs, and this year is like the year of Reposados. So many different brands coming out with so much different processes of how they're aging their agave and their Reposados these days. But this one, it has this complexity and this pureness. Honestly, if you was to close my eyes, in some parts of this, I would even think this is a whiskey on the front end of the palate, more so than on the finish, too. It just has that unique characteristic wood notes, as Cody just said, too, as well.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. Yeah, the wood is what we really focus on, because I like Blancos, and I'm really partial in general towards Blancos. But if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to be very intentional about, okay, we're going to put wood in it. Okay, well, let's put the best wood. Let's actually, we want wood flavors. Okay, well, let's pronounce those flavors. You know, I don't feel like, otherwise it feels like half-assing it to me. I was like, I'm checking off the list because it was in wood for 2 months and then has wood. Okay, it's a Reposado. No, if I'm going to actually do a Reposado, it's going to be rested. I'm going to be very intentional about what, and there's actually wood there and give it a pronounced way. Otherwise, if I didn't want the wood, then I would just drink the Blanco. And likewise with Añejo. The Añejo is, I think, even more, everything I kind of consider in time, the Añejo is even more paused. When you sip it, the slower you sip it, the more you're able to perceive. It's a little bit high, it's a higher proof. It's at 44%. And it's a 1/3 neutral French oak. So because Añejo, I always think back to the experience, right? The Blanco, you know, you're sitting it. I kind of think of when you would have a Blanco, what you would be doing, who you would be doing with, and how you first experience it. Well, okay, it's going to be room temperature. Might usually be with friends, or, you know, obviously if someone knows about the brand, then they're probably more picky about what they drink, so they're probably going to sip it. Okay, so, you know, what is that experience? So when you sip the Blanco, I want it to be, you know, a long, complex, especially more pronounced in the mid palate Blanco. So I think of that experience and I try to cater to that experience. And then my overall lining thing is balance. Just keep things round and balanced. So now the Reposado, it's like, okay, why or when are you having a Reposado? Okay, well, you're having a Reposado when, you know, maybe you're watching something, maybe you're having it on the rocks, maybe you kind of want a bourbon, but you still want a tequila. You kind of want something a little bit of both, but you know, you still want to have, it's almost like the Reposado is having your cake and eating it too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you wanted the bourbon kind of, you know, woodsy, the hominess, the warmth of the wood that way, you know, if we ever had bourbons that we really like, it's like, why do we like them? Well, we like them because it kind of feels familiar. It kind of feels safe. It kind of feels warm. It feels cozy. That wood, you know? So I wanted to impart that in the Reposado, but also you still want to be lively. You know, you're not trying to just sit back and just take a more pause moment. Whereas an añejo, I think, you know, with your elders, a Christmas or something else, you almost want to take more time with it. So that's why I impart a different blending and composition. And everything's geared back towards the experience.
I think that's the key word on when sipping this, dude, is the experience. Even sniffing it, dude, I get that toasted oak and vanilla bean, like, right off the bat.
With me. Yeah, I get a little bit of almond on that, too.
I could see that. Yeah. I was thinking, like, some kind of nuts. It was, like, walnut almond type or whatever.
Yeah, I get a little bit of walnut on the profile at the end. Mm-hmm. You know how walnuts, when you bite it, there's a little bit of tannins?
Yeah.
It's a little bit of grip. It kind of not dries out your mouth, but kind of has, like, grip. I get that. It should be right now where you get that grip.
Okay, yeah, I see exactly what you mean by that then. Okay.
And that's what I also get from rye, and I'm a big fan of rye. I really like rye.
I love rye, so yeah.
Well, we talked about the Blue Run rye.
Yeah.
Their rye.
That was what got me into rye, was because I wasn't that huge on rye.
Oh, really?
But now I absolutely love rye. Like, if you was considering me a bourbon or rye guy, I'm definitely a rye guy more.
Me too.
Rye's right now, man. They are just so incredible.
It kind of reminds me of
Reposados a little bit. The profile flavor on them is so different nowadays compared to back 10 years ago.
Yeah, the Phil Austin rye, very, very good. Peerless, very good.
Is a good one, yeah.
Yeah.
Phil Austin's rye is really good.
Yeah, there's another rye that I recently bought that I was like, wow, this is money.
Oh, he's staring at the stash right now.
The other thing is, I have several stashes, dude. 291 rye is also a very good rye.
Mm-hmm. Man, yeah.
Because they use small barrels.
Yeah. Damn. And Cody, you getting any other nose notes on this one besides?
I'm getting like a touch of like banana almost too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to come from the. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's just ever so slight. It's not as pronounced as the other notes you guys are pointing out, but it's definitely there though.
And I love that you said that, man. So when I was developing the yeast for the Blanco, the banana flavor is what I kind of focused on.
Okay.
So I'm really curious for you to try the Blanco because it's almost like a mature plantain. It's slightly green, mature plantain. Mm. Oh, wow. Not a super ripe banana, okay. but I think that's so. Because a super sweet banana is nice, but it's not as interesting to me as to have that gradualness of like a little bit of a not quite ripe, but also minerally, but also sweet. I'm curious what you guys think of the Blanco when you guys do happen to run into it.
You got like a hint of a citrus peel on there too as well.
Yeah, like a blood orange peel.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
Oh, in for the, I mean, I've already been sipping on it, but in for the power. Oh,
yeah.
You know
what? Yeah, no, 100%.
We kind of skipped over our routine here or whatever, but like, yeah, it's been delicious. I think I've poured this like 3 times now. So
that's awesome, man. Yeah, there's a, the repo is definitely, it's funny. People are either all about it or, you know, they think it's too strong. But I think, you know, it's too strong because of its intensity, right? You know, like kind of like what I said. Sometimes people, it's weird. It's always great. And I take this as a personal compliment because that's what I'm going for. But sometimes people that aren't experienced tequila drinkers, they say it doesn't burn. It doesn't have alcohol, but it's too strong. And it's almost like, you know, I kind of get that when people try mezcal for the first time. It's just, it's really, and I don't own this as myself. There's a lot of tequilas that I think have this, but it's a little bit too complex for them. And they're not used to having so much input in their brain from their mouth. It's a little bit overwhelming. And I could see it in their face. They're like they don't know what to make of it. They're like, they're not used to kind of like pausing it, letting it sit and kind of deciphering every flavor. And I think that's why some of us, we start liking more high proof as we go on, right? Because we're able to then decipher more. So it becomes more enjoyable. The engagement is much more fulfilling.
I think for me, I always say my liver is on borrowed time these days, as I look at my stash over there. And I say what I look for when I drink now is I'm looking for something unique and different. And sipping on your Reposado, that was the high proof of it was what I got that was so unique about it. I was just like, I've never tasted a Reposado like this before.
Yeah, without the extra alcohol, I'll go ahead and sip some with you. By the way, for the liver stuff, if you want, I always recommend after drinking for weekend or whatnot, you could buy some chlorophyll at Whole Foods or whatever it is and drink several liters of chlorophyll. Mm-hmm. It helps reset your liver and enhance your years of drinking experience.
I drink that, and I also got some liver pills too. Whatever, like the
cleanse,
whatever. I was like, I'm gonna keep this going for another 5+ years, but apparently, I got to go another 10 years because that's when you're releasing that new mezcal. So,
yeah, got a whole another decade, brother. Got to hold on.
I'm gonna be in a fucking wheelchair rolling up to your house, going like, "Where's that mezcal at?" Whatever, you know.
Yeah,
need to release. That.
Hopefully, I'll be several deep in, and that one's gonna be in a green bottle. It's gonna be in one of these.
Green bottle, blue bottle, red bottle. Yeah. I don't give a fuck. It's delicious as shit. Yeah, you can pour it. Yeah. You can pour it in my mouth, my brain that you were talking about earlier, whatever. Yeah, whatever you got to pour it in. Pour it in something.
Put that shit in a hydro flask.
like a liquid IV.
Bro, you can put that shit in a crack pipe. I'm sipping that bad boy. All right. I would look at that pipe like that raccoon was on the internet or whatever. Where he's just looking.
Oh yeah, that's going around. That was actually hilarious.
That's fucking hilarious. It blew that cop's mind. He was like, damn.
He kind of felt like he was interrupting. He was like, what?
And the raccoon looked at him like, yeah, you are interrupting.
He's like, no, you good, dude? Can I help you?
The raccoon saw three. So put it in whatever the fuck you want to put it on, and I'll sip that shit. I'll buy it and everything.
You know what's funny? I think you guys, if you're bourbon people, have you ever heard of the Bourbon Pursuit podcast?
Yeah, I've heard of the Pursuit podcast, yeah.
So one of their biggest picks of last year, I was able to get that barrel. Oh, it was a Russell Reserve barrel. It was one of their highest rated picks. They released it with a company called Keg & Bottle.
Yep, I know Keg & Bottle too. I've purchased from them before.
Yesterday we released, if you're on the email list, maybe you got it, but yesterday we released a pre-order. There's very limited bottles, so you know it goes out when it goes out. What is it, 14, 15 months or 16 months añejo of Russell's Reserve at 45% ABV.
Did you talk about this last year at that?
I did. It finally got released. It's a very unique looking bottle. And again, the horse heads, I will not replicate the colorways.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to check it out, even just to kind of look at it and kind of get specs, I put all the specs there. But if you go to kegandbottle.com and you look up the Cabal single barrel, it's like a red and blue. It's kind of perfect in time for July 4th.
But yeah, okay. Red and blue. Yeah, yeah. I think I have seen you posting those or whatever. And I remember you talked about it at that event we went to.
I haven't posted this one yet. This one I have not posted at all. They've been the only one that posted. I'm about to post it this weekend. This Monday to kind of help them announce it and whatnot.
And it's this one right here, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that one's it.
Man, I'm buying that right now, actually. You ain't gotta ask me twice. Shit. yeah, there we go. All right. Delivery.
Yeah, and it'll come with a leather label and talking all about a red leather label. But yeah, that bottle looks so freaking cool in person. Super happy with it. And when I tasted that barrel, I kind of understood why that was one of Bourbon Pursuit Podcast's highest rated barrels. It was unreal.
Dude, I'm going to miss the horse heads.
But see, you're still going to get the horse heads in special editions.
Oh.
Just like you did. So you're only going to, they're only reserved for, like the one you just saw.
Yeah.
The horse heads will just be special edition. So now you know every time you see a horse head, it's going to be a special edition.
Oh, even better. Those horse heads, dude. Our buddy Ricky, we can follow him on.
Ricky.
Ricky, man, he's the dopest dude ever, man. He was the one that got me on Cabal. He was like, got to try that shit. It's a good stuff. And I hesitated at first because usually when you see something like this, as Cody said last week, it's a fucking horse head, you know? Yeah. So I assume that it'd be gimmicky, you know? It's like,
yeah,
on whiskey, that it's just gimmicky as fuck when it comes to bottle canters like this. But dude, call it gimmicky, whatever the fuck you want to call it. This
I'll explain to you, you know, at the bottom of that bottle, it'll actually say the ranch. It says Rancho Portisuelo.
I've never
And that's that. The name of the ranch where, you know, through our partners, we have 20 to 30 horses on a ranch that we, it takes time, love, care, and attention to raise a noble steed. Mm-hmm. Time, love, care, and attention to raise a noble spirit. Mm-hmm. I tell people the horses are moniker because it represents the same love, time, and passion to create a noble spirit. And I needed the vessel that carries the spirit of Jalisco, which is tequila, to also carry the spirit of our culture and our way of being. The horse represents how we are, who we are, and how we do things the way we do things. And also, as far as the beauty of it, I grew up in the garment industry. Mm-hmm. My dad, you know, he had a clothing manufacturing. He was the first manufacturer for Guess, for Calvin Klein, for Juicy Couture. And, you know, whenever I was young and I would try to get a brand that I liked, I would grab the brand, you know, and I'd say, hey, Dad, can you buy this for me? Whatever brand it was. It's a bunch of different ones, man. I remember. And everything from skating, just all kinds of different. But he would grab the shirt, turn it inside out, look at the seams, look at everything. He's like, this is not well made. So for me, it always had to look as good as it was made. So I didn't know why you couldn't have both. Why couldn't you have an elaborate, nice bottle with an elaborate, nice spirit? Why was it always, oh, let's just spend on one thing and not on that? I'm like, no, I want both. I want everything to be excellent.
I'm with you 100% on that. Yeah, I don't want to be paying just for the decanter or whatever. I want to pay for the whole
thing. Like, if you're going to pay for it, why not pay for what's in it and why not what it comes in? You know, like these bottles, you know, they're very intentional as far as the shape. See that shape that I have? This is actually made to mimic the way the indigenous people before the Hispanic era would make distillates in clay pots. Mm. And they were in this shape. At the bottom of it, it says, de los buenos quedamos pocos.
Oh, shit.
In Spanish.
That it does.
Yeah, I'm about, to I'm about to call you a liar. I'm like, man, I don't say shit. What are you talking
about? Yeah, no. And that means there's few of us good ones left.
What?
De los buenos quedamos pocos. And I tell people that because if you hold yourself to a very high standard, you realize and you tell yourself there's few of when I was going out, whatever it is, my dad would say, cuídate, mijo, que de los buenos quedamos pocos. Take care of yourself, my son. There are a few of us good ones left. So whenever you go out, every decision, whether if I wanted to get in a fight, whatever it is, it was like there's few of us good ones left. I have to be careful about how I carry myself. And that's where it comes from. But I'm also a fan. It's a double meaning. I'm also a big fan of tequila. And look, I have a huge stash of all kinds of stuff, man. You name the brand, I probably have it.
I know.
Talking if it was well made.
Talking to you alone, you know, I noticed you had a bunch of stuff, whatever. I was like, damn, you do drink more than just tequila.
Oh, yeah, man. And it's and I do think there's few of us good ones left. So that's what that meaning has, and that's why it's the foundation at the bottom of our bottles. You know, and even the topper is a one piece made of wood that's fabricated and carved from a single piece, and it's made to mimic your horse saddle, the saddle horn.
Oh, you know, I did not notice that.
That makes sense.
You know what I
thought? And even when you buy it, the direction that it comes with, that it actually points, is the same direction. If you notice the horse, the way it's facing, is the same way it would face if you were sitting on a horse and the saddle was in front of you.
Wow. You just changed my opinion about this. That's
intentional. Yeah, the label on the front. It has those little arches. That's the arches that enter when you go to my dad's hometown. Those are the arches that you see. If you Google Jalostotitlan, Jalisco, I can text it to you later so you can check it out. But the arches to enter the town are those arches.
Wow.
I'm so glad you gave us the fine details and the backstory in this bottle because, man, I would have had no idea. That or history.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. Yeah, and you know, I have a little excerpt on the back.
Now you got a deep diving in this bottle. Look at
yeah,
that.
Yeah, seriously.
What's that now? Cody, I see the horse rope right here. I see his right there, Cody.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's you might never notice it, like you said, but I do it anyways because course, that's yeah, what it means for me to be Cabal is do things yeah, even if you don't get noticed for it.
There it is.
You know, when we first talked to you at Tequila Fest, or as we like to call it, Fuck You Fest, because they fucked us on our mezcals there.
I know, man. I was so pissed at that.
I was so pissed about that because I was gonna drink the shit out of that night. So.
Yeah, they had two cases, and they just got that's lazy crazy. And they said, yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
They told me they sold out. They didn't have any more.
No, they were being lazy.
And I just kind of looked at them and said, you can't miss this design. Like, it's like, I was like, can I just go back?
No, here? It was a white box too. And they just were lazy.
Damn.
It's just people being lazy, man. It sucks.
When we talked Tequila Fest, you had so much deep, rich history to talk about that honestly, I was already a fan of the tequila before. You had made me more invested in this story stuff. Just the way you talk, the passion you have for your family and your family's history and what you guys did for work and how you've taken over this brand and made it into what it is. And even hearing you now talk, I hear just the passion oozing out of your body right now. You know, so and it's very rare to hear that from a lot of people, but you're one of the few. And I think personally, you are the biggest seller of this brand, dude. Every time I see you talk on social media about it, whatever, it just makes me either want to sip on what I have or buy what I see you promoting.
I appreciate that.
You hurt my wallet. I'm not gonna lie.
Sorry about that, my friend. I try to, and that's another thing. You know, my high proof is, you know, 86 to 88 bucks. There's a lot of high proofs that are, you know, 95 plus.
Yeah, I think we only spent 70 now on ours.
Yeah, there you go. And yeah. I you know, my Blanco, you could buy the Blanco Repo.
40 bucks.
I think, yeah, relatively, in all intents and purposes, there's no, and I'm just being completely blunt about it, there's no other tequila that gives all the details about our Blanco production. There's no other tequila right now that gives, even tells you what Blanco, the Repo, comes from. And at the same time being organic and biodynamic. On top of that, and for all intents and purposes, I could charge for that sort of premium and kind of elevate my brand to that kind of status. But the thing is, bro, I don't think you need to be. I think class is something that you earn every day, and it has nothing to do with just a monetary obsession that we have for it. And it's just I charge what I think is the most fair. And what nothing more, nothing less of what I think all the work that was put into it. So every single dollar, you obviously, you know, the distributors and the liquor stores have to make their money. But yeah, as far as my concern, every single dollar you're putting towards it is work being done. I mean, I even tell you who is in charge of the fields that takes care of the agaves.
He's not, you know,
I put on the bottle a whole new category of credit where people weren't giving it, which is the maestro agavero. You always hear the master distiller. What about the guy that was like slaved over the freaking 7 years of taking care of the fields?
And that hot ass sun too.
Do they not? And the person that coordinated and took care of the land and do all that, like. And work with us to, you know, we use earthworms in our fertilization process. That's what makes us biodynamic. Should they not deserve credit as well? You know, and I think that's what it is. It ties in the community. And for me, this is just more than tequila. It is, I think, a product manifestation of generations of positive ideologies. And, you know, this is the tree that I want to plant, even though I may never get to enjoy its shade.
Dude, I love that. I love everything you just said. And to piggyback, I agree with your prices. As far as the prices go, like you said, $40 for the Blanco. I think the most, well, even that Añejo.
No, the Blanco should be around 54, 55, just to be, if you could find it for 40, good for you, man.
K&L. But,
K&L's 45? Like $49.99, right?
Oh, okay. I thought it was 45.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you know, K&L has one of the best. They operate on low margins and they buy bulk, so they get one of the best pricings.
They got blood money. You're right. Yeah. Yeah, they're doing something over there. Yeah.
No, K&L, honestly, man, I love those guys. Shout out to David. He's doing a great job. But he, the whole team there picks up, you know, the best brands of every little thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I learned from people there at the sake that they had. Mm-hmm. I literally was there for like 2 hours learning about all the sake they had and where that came from and all that stuff. And I was just, you know, it was cool because I got to ask as many questions as I can come up with, which is, you know, always really fun for me. Probably annoying for them.
You know, we're talking about K&L. The one company I need to talk about, and I always say it every week here, the House of Cabal in SoCal, for me at least, whatever, is where I get all my cabal from, is Corked. Corked Long Beach, man. Wes is my guy. It's one of my
good friends. Wes is the homie, dude. He's such a good – him and his brother Sam, they've been so good to me. They've been super supportive. They've been super positive. They just picked up the repo and everything, man. Corked is awesome. Also their cousin in Buena Park, Corked.
Yep.
Danny is one of the dopest human beings I've ever come across.
Always smiling.
Always smiling. Always something in his hand. He's just the coolest dude, man. It's just like, we always chat and we always get inspire each other. And, you know, we're kind of like, whenever we talk, we kind of build on each other's energy. Mm-hmm. Really good family, really good people. I you're right. I can't, I love K&L for a different purpose. And Corked is just a great, environment and great people.
I could see why you specifically like Corked too, to where you distribute to them so much too, is because when I talk to Wes, man, he has this family mindset, kind of like you do as myself or whatever. You consistently talk about it, and so does Wes, man. He's all about building his family's, like, you know, legacy, ownership and stuff like that, and just carrying on, moving on, and giving his family, loved ones, you know, type of opportunities that he was never given.
So right.
I personally love that both of you are both like that. And that's probably why me and Wes are like really good friends. That's why he's a homie as well. But I get all of my cabal stuff from Corked, man. They have the best prices on cabal. They have the best deals. It's always findable. I drove out to Buena Park to get these reposados. Then the steel strength as well too. I mean, all these are just,
he has great prices, dude. And he has a great price. He has a package price. Ask the Buena Park. He has a package price for the
$100
for the what?
The Portro Blanco and Añejo 375 milliliter for $100.
Yeah, man.
That's a steal.
Crazy.
Me. That's a steal. Crazy. I swear to God, that's a steal.
Like, that is a steal.
Straight up.
Like, I would rob him if I didn't know him. Shit, I'd be like, give me that shit or whatever. I would hold this horseshoe up to him and be like, give me all them goddamn
products. You don't have to, man. He's pretty much giving it away. Like,
he really is. He really is. Like, that is a damn good price that he has there. I got to tell you, sipping on this, by the way, talking to you, it's a conversational piece, definitely. That shit lingers like crazy, dude. Like,
oh, thanks, man.
Lingers, man. Like, I mean, lingers. Like, it sticks around. It don't know when to leave. It's like being at a Quinceañera, dude. It's still going. Yeah. It's 4 a.m. in the morning and shit, whatever. It's like, why is that music still playing? We need to get out of here.
Yeah, it's like your mother-in-law coming to visit for 2 weeks.
Right? 2 weeks? It's been a month now. What the hell is this doing here? Somebody send her ass home, dude. Oh, man. See, that blood orange citrus note comes through more. So you were right on the money with that.
Yeah, I do get at the end, from the late mid palate to the end, I get citrus at the very end, like the orange. But the mid to late, I get that toasted almond.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, have you ever bought candied almonds?
Oh, hell yeah.
Like that.
Oh, it sticks out. Man, there's this white pepper link, but it's so sweet too at the same time.
Yeah, it's like white pepper, and it's also like white peach, like a.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But I do get that Russell's rye.
So man, that Russell's rye sticks out
on the tongue.
It sticks out like crazy on the palate. That's why I said, if you closed my eyes and told me you was handing me this, I'd be like, did you pour like some agave into a Russell's rye or something like that?
Right? Did you put agave syrup in a Russell's rye?
I'd be like, did you just give me some additive shit with a. I was like, there's no way this should taste like this. Like, I was like, what's going on here, dude? you confusing the palette here with this one or whatever. I'm like, man, but that's what I love about it. It's just so unique, so different. Never sipped any Reposado that had just this like complexity to it. And I see what you mean when you're talking about like the complexity can just go over some people's heads that don't really drink like this. I think for me, for Cody, if I could speak for him too as well, I think it just like makes you appreciate it more. The more you sip on it, you just like, man, what am I sipping on here? Whatever. This is a dangerous bottle, by the way, because
it is dangerous, dude. I swear to God, like, it's people keep telling me that, and I think it's funny, but I took a bottle to some friends yesterday. It's actually on my story. We posted on Cabal. This one of my friends, he's friends with he's like a fashion blogger, and he posted we were doing a blind tasting between 1942 Cascanes and Cabal. Ooh. To see if people can tell the one with additives. But if you look at it, it's right now in the story, but if you look at it, we all opened the bottles fresh. Mm. And the freaking Cabal was like this left. And it was funny. The 1942 was already started, but it's funny because whenever I take it to places or people have it, and if there's three or four people, the bottle just flies, and no one's slurring their words. No, everyone feels lucid. It's still very like positive. The energy's great. And so I tell people, not just my tequila, but in general, if you drink a good tequila, quality made tequila, the buzz is a different story.
Agreed. I totally agree with it. You know, sipping this, it kind of reminds me of like this year I'm getting into Reposados more. I think Yayo, Lost Lore, and you guys are the Reposados I've been like going like, whoa, these guys are really good.
Lost Lore has some great Reposados.
Oh, man. Yeah.
They're
fucking amazing.
Yeah, Lost Lore. There's some cool things up there, Lost Lore.
Yeah, he just got I haven't tried the newest one, but I got to meet the owner for it. We met in Colorado.
Oh, that's right, because they just released that new one that just came on, that blue bottle and shit.
Yeah, the Amarana cask. But we were talking about it, and we did a high proof competition out there in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Oh shit! Okay, I'm just not hearing about this.
Oh yeah.
Oh shit!
Oh yeah, it was Colorado Agave Group. Yeah, it was cool. It was us, Lost Lore, Montagave, and Corito. All blind high proofs.
I'd have flew the bottle for this.
Everyone, it was a really cool event, actually. But everyone kind of sipped it blind and, you know, found out. But, we did. And by consensus, we were rated the highest of all of them. The high proof, which I felt pretty humbled by. Because I mean, I freaking love the Montagave high proof, and ours was at 55% actually, which I think was the highest one there. But Lost Lore,
Sergio Cruz is amazing.
But it's actually the owner that he feels it like he has more liberty when it comes to barrels than he does with, you know, setting up a Blanco profile.
Mm.
Because especially at 1414, where there's a lot of brands, the Blancos, you're going to have variation, but there's only so much you can do. And I'm not speaking any kind of way, but there's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's may not be as involved as maybe you need to be for to kind of separate from what is the core of 1414 and what Sergio Cruz wants. You kind of don't want to touch whatever he does, so you kind of just let him do. So that's why Lost Lore is, you know, he's focused, what I've seen, just from the outside. And power to him. He still want to makes it his own story. So he, you know, he does very unique things with the barrels. So I think his Reposados are, I think, very interesting, and I think it makes it for a very cool brand.
Mm. Cody, are you getting like a butterscotch note on this, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get a ton of butterscotch, which kind of lends itself to more of those kind of bourbon-y, I guess, kind of characteristics.
Yeah, it's kind of too easy to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. You were saying earlier, Everardo, about how people who are not, like, experienced tequila drinkers would say this is too strong. And be sipping this right now, I was like, I could just
It's like a background pour almost. Not to detract from it, yeah. But I could easily just sip this without like giving it a second thought. Like it's that delicious. Like it's that good. It's that approachable for me at least.
Yeah.
Granted, I have a more refined palate, but you know.
No, it's funny you said that, man, because you know, I never really drink my stuff, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I almost never drink my stuff. After I make it, I kind of like leave it and that's it.
I
don't really revisit it. I revisit it sometimes when people say, hey, have a drink with us or whatever it is. I revisit it and I kind of, but it's just sometimes I can't do it because I sit there and I start thinking about like, okay, what about this? Like I start finding gaps.
Right.
Or different things. So I have to be careful because then I start, what can I do more? What am I not doing? Like, it's just kind of like nonstop.
Hmm.
But you know, this Repo is one of the few ones that I've done where I can just enjoy it. And I haven't visited in, you know, since last year actually. So I'm barely trying it again with you guys.
What an honor.
And I'm like, oh shit. Like I really like it.
Yeah, this is good shit, man. This is some great shit, bro.
Cody, he leaned back in his chair. He said, shit, I like this shit. Yeah.
like, God damn, I made this shit? Like, damn.
Damn.
Yeah, this is, no, it wasn't just me. I had obviously it's a big team, but like a lot of people. It's funny. This is the first, when I tried each of the barrels, each of the spirits, because I actually bought the bottles. Actually, a little thing. I bought the bottles that originally had this bourbon.
Mm.
Oh, shit.
So I bought them and I tried them.
Okay.
And then I tried my Blanco that went into it. And I said, I think this is going to be the ratio. And the first ratio that I came up with was actually this one.
Mm.
We tried 15 different ratios after that. Wow. But then we came back to this one.
Wow.
Wow. That's, man.
You never forget your first.
yeah, I know, right? I know. But that's how it kind of is. You kind of just, you know, it's like a guessing game, but.
Yeah.
That's a lot. 15, too, dude. Like, damn.
15. They came back to the first one. That's.
Yeah, when we came back to the first Destiny. One. It was three of us, Dustin and a gentleman named Brandon. He's the spirits director at Wally's.
Hmm.
Oh, Wally's.
Wally's is awesome. Yeah,
Wally's. Yeah.
Wally's has a great cocktail.
They have a great fucking selection there on tequila, too. And I remember I went there recently for lunch or whatever, maybe it was dinner. And I was texting Cody. I was like, man, they got Cabal Mezcal on the shelf. They got the Anaya. I was like, dude, mm-hmm. this shelf.
Yeah, Potro's the well.
Yeah, they have Potro as well, too. Because I Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then the Repo cocktail was the highest selling cocktail there.
I think, not mistaken, on Tequila Matchmaker, as far as like the critics and user reviews or whatever, like the Reposado has the highest reviews out of all your pours on there, if I'm not mistaken. Not by
you
much.
Know what? I never check it.
You know, it came across to me when I was looking for the
bottle. Never checked. And I never checked Tequila. I never check any of my ratings. I never check any of that. I don't, you know. If people talk shit, so be it. They talk shit. If people like, I don't know. It is what it is. I don't like to look at any of that. I kind of want to insulate myself and just do the best I can and try to get better and just be honest. And then, you know, if the crowd decides to whatever, then that's what everyone decides to do.
I have never seen anyone shit on your products whatsoever. Your reviews on every pour I've seen on that website was between 88 and 95.
There's actually, I know one because my Dustin, he shared a screenshot to me. One of them, they put I don't know if it's a Repo Hypo at 64 or 60 something.
That guy's an asshole. He didn't know any better.
Yeah, I know. and I realized that. And I'm like, bro, I'm pretty sure he's another brand owner, by the way.
Oh,
wow.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And I was like, okay.
Oh, shit.
And I talked to his distributor, his importer, and I said, yo, why is your boy doing this? And I talked to him. Because I know the importer, it's actually the importer for G4, too. And they're friends of mine.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah. You know, and I rated his tequila. And I gave it a 83.
Yeah.
A 78 or an 83. One of them I gave it 78, one of them I gave it 83. And I I can tell you exactly why, but that's just what I came up with. It wasn't not my highest, but it wasn't like I don't intentionally trying to. Yeah, I don't intentionally trying to. Yeah, it was El Hotel.
I'm gonna look this up now. Yeah. Well, fuck him. This tastes great. So
this looks gold to me.
It's dangerous. I'm about to hide the bottle because I didn't pour like
dude,
7 of these.
Honestly, I'm kind of like, dude, I'm kind of down. This is
You see why that first bottle was so quick for us?
Yeah,
evaporated.
I think I poured like 7 of these already in this 1 hour conversation we've had. Now I'm like, god damn, I've drank that much. Yeah. The finish, dude. Speaking of just lingering on it. It is like really nice, and it's got this lingering sweet oak and spice to it that I really like about this, man. I'm telling you know what reminds me of rye.
Yeah. Thank you, man. You know, it's funny. I kind of find a similarity with this one and the Yayo one. I forgot which one. Mm. The one that was, I think, apple cider.
Oh, yep. That was the Dia de los Muertos
one. Yeah, I forgot which one, though.
I think it was Soul. I think it was Soul, not Lou.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I tried it way back when he had just pulled it from the barrel. I was hanging out with John. He's like, yo, man, I just got these barrels. Try this. And I tried it.
John is so awesome.
This repo reminds me. Have you had like Manzanillo tea? You know what Manzanillo?
I have not had that, no.
It's a specific tea. It's called Manzanillo. Mm-hmm. It tastes like Manzanillo is like a small apple. So it's a tea, tastes like Manzanillo tea with honey.
Mm. Damn.
So, like now that I'm revisiting shit. It.
Sound like some Snow White shit right there. Oh.
I know.
Bite into that apple and it'll keep you going back for more. Mm. But the finish, man, is just absolutely phenomenal.
That's funny, the Snow White apple. Yeah, bite into that and put you in the ground.
Hey, man, if I got to go into the ground, I hope it's sipping this shit then, you know? Put the bottle with me, just lay it across my arms or whatever and shit. Throw up the Wakanda Forever sign with the bottle in my hand. Dude, the finish, though, Cody, man, this is just phenomenal to me, dude. Cody opened it before I did. I opened it like 3 days after he did or whatever. He was just talking about like, oh shit. He was like, this bottle ain't gonna last to May.
No.
And he wasn't wrong.
No, was not wrong. Cause I can vouch for this. My girlfriend, she's not a huge tequila drinker. But this Reposado, she took quite a liking to. Like I said, yeah, and a big proponent of that is once again the wood character. I keep going back to that. The wood character in this is so, like you alluded to earlier, use the word pronounced, and that's very much is pronounced, which is why I was like JBB was saying earlier, we were kind of like, Reposado is not really our jam. This one, I was like, oh shit. And Lost Lord doing everything too. I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe Reposado, maybe this is, we would pay more attention to them now. And I hope that is the case because I want to get more into Reposados. So I'm here for it.
I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier about Reposados. They kind of just stay the course of like being like, you know, for certain people. Whereas in me and Cody, we drink so much, especially on this show alone. Right? Mm-hmm. Well, I would say in our 20s too as well. I think at this point in our lives, we're just kind of looking like if we're going to spend money on it, I'm looking for something different, unique, something that's going to like just change. Like, whoa, how do I think about things? And this was the first Reposado we got of the year, and right sipping it right away, we was like, "Holy shit, dude!" It was like, I mean, you kind of had that face on us with mezcal too, because we kind of was getting a little tired of mezcal as well.
Same thing.
Yeah.
And we sipped on yours, dude, and we was just like, "I've never sipped on something so flavor influenced like this on a mezcal." Like, whoa, blew my fucking mind. And Cody will.
Oh man, I'm excited.
Like 7,000 times or whatever. So.
And then later on this year. Actually, I haven't told anybody yet, but later on this year, I'm going to be, I'm going to have another, the other batch of Reposado, but I'm going to try something. I'm going to release a Hoven, with some really special barrels and a Blanco. Cause I think in my mind, cause I was sipping the Reposados and I kind of, like, if I break it down, I feel like you get way more complexity from a Hoven. And I kind of prefer them over Reposados.
Oh.
Because the Reposados have a more homogenous sort of flavor profile. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I get like a 16-month añejo, mm-hmm. and I choose the proportion between 35, 40%, 25%, 15% of repo into it, it just morphs. We just tried it, my business partner and I, and it kind of blew our minds. And I was like, I kind of want to pause repos for a minute and just do a Hovind.
All right.
Because I just got way more going on from it.
I think Hovind's, Yayo got me into Hovind's with their Dia de los Muertos, the Sol and Luna release. Cody had Luna at this event we went to. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it completely changed my mind how I felt about Hovind's after the sip of those.
So well, Cascanas, I think, yeah, Cascanas, the original Lot 1 Hovind, I think is the holy, one of the masterpieces of tequila.
Mm-hmm.
Or Lot 1 Hovind. Before they changed noms. That is one of my favorite, if not favorite, Hovinds of all time. Mm. But just because it's so unique.
Yeah.
I don't think it can ever be replicated. I have like four bottles.
Oh,
just because shit. That, you know. But, it, you know, I love the repo. I love my repo, but I really think, I think people will be surprised with the Hovind. It'll be the cost the same as the repo, but it'll have añejo into that blanco. And I think, man.
Damn, dude. I'm looking forward to that. You said that's coming towards the end of the year?
Yeah.
Whew. Well, Cabal has my money. I mean, whatever you release.
I want my whole fucking bank account around information.
Yeah. This point, so, yeah. Can you just like set up a pre-order on the website where it just automatically take the
phone? You know what? I'm working on a website. We'll have like, you know, a club. I'm coming out with more merchandise, but see, I don't even buy blanks.
I love your hats.
I make, oh, thanks, man. I don't even buy blanks. I make the t-shirts, and I'm going to be making like unique drops of like different fabrics, different things of different stuff that is Cabal that I think is just cool. Cause my background is clothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to do unique drops and kind of a merch website that's like a limited run kind of deal.
Oh, perfect.
It's high quality. I'm not going to overprice. No crazy prices or anything like that. But it just limited runs and stuff like that. And I want to do, I think, eventually like a club. So for special releases and stuff like that, you get access to. But I want to be also conscientious of like the corks of the world and know that and make sure that, you know, that's why actually if you notice Cabal.com, TequilaCabal.com, is always going to be a little bit more expensive than everyone else's. It's just to protect all the other vendors.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I need a Cabal shirt. So yeah, whenever you guys make those shirts, dude, I'll buy one right away. I mean, I got two of your hats. I love those hats. They fucking have like the best designs on them. Pure bread or whatever, so yeah. And your bottles, you don't have to say none less or whatever. I've had every expression of yours now except for the Blanco have all have been phenomenal. I think like all of them has been like our
yeah. I'm curious what you think of the Blanco, and I'm curious what you think of that second bottle one, because
yeah,
I really think that one's gonna be mega special.
Kind of scared of that, dude. That might be the pour of the year or whatever. I don't need to be scared like that, dude. Just warm me up. It's like cozy a little bit, you know. So, kind of like this is doing to my throat right now, you know. Dude, Cody, you got any final thoughts on this pour, man? This is
yeah, this is easily one of the most complex reposados I've had. That, like I said, I keep going back to what made me fall in love with this one right here. This is my second bottle now, so obviously I'm in love with the bottle. That pronounced wood character, man, this shocked me. I was like, Reposados can do this? I was like, okay, what? Where's this been all the time? This is what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. And Cabal, Everardo, you nailed it, man. You nailed it. This I appreciate is, you. Yeah, this is top of line. And this is, what, $70?
Yeah, it was like $70.
Yeah, like, come on, man. Like, just stop it. Stupid. Just buy it. No brainer. Why am I even talking right now? This is excellent.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, this is a bona fide last drop on our scale on the show here. That's the greatest rating on here. So yeah, this is easily drop of fan material. Love it.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that. You know, that means a lot to me because, like I said, you know, all everything that I do, obviously everything is a business, and you know, we're trying to, you know, provide for our families and all that stuff, but.
Yeah.
You know, really the great motivation behind all this is I think the greatest thing that I can come up with is just creating something and sharing it with people and then getting excited about it together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get that excited for that for even other brands, but in general, you know, I tell all my friends, anybody that knows me, I just want to make dope shit with dope people. And that's,
there it is.
That's kind of, that's it. It's as simple as that. So I no, it assholes. Means a lot and I appreciate it.
I don't want to work.
No, absolutely. No, I appreciate this more. Yeah. Thank you.
Dude, I'm in the same boat as Cody, man. The first thing that popped in my mind was, it's kind of what got me into Love and Rise, where I thought that I didn't really think much about them as much. And then there was,
yeah, me neither.
There was this one brand that just came around and just flipped my whole opinion of them. And I was just like, holy shit, I got to start trying more of these. And yours is what did it for me. Just like, let's say Blue Run did for Rise for me.
Yeah, dude, that Blue Run, when we first tried it, when the brand first launched, one of their key salespeople, forget his name.
Trey. Yeah, Trey's the man.
Yeah. So he gave Scott a bottle for his group. Mm. He's like, hey, so Scott's a really good friend. I don't know if you know Scott.
I love Scott. Scott's like one of my good friends because he lives not that far from me. We're both.
Oh, yeah, dude. He's our homie.
Yeah.
He's given me so many bottles, by the way. He's one of the nicest, just cool dude. He loves what he does. But we have a cigar group. We get together with Lucas and just a bunch of people. Like,
he told me about that.
Yeah. He brought that bottle. He crushed it.
Because Lucas, he works with Unicorn
Hunters. Yeah, Hunters. That's Jack Andrews. Yeah.
Yeah, man, that is a dope cigar, man. But yeah, y'all crushed that bottle, I assume. Yeah.
I was just with the founder and owner of Unicorn yesterday. We hang out a lot. he's an awesome dude. He hooked me up with some cigars. I'm actually going to have some later.
I think I will too, actually.
Man, dude, if you ever want to, are you a part of his club?
I'm not.
Yeah, look, I don't want to put more strain on your wallet, bro. But like,
please,
at least just do 1 month. I think it's $30 or $40.
Oh, okay.
I swear to God, it's worth it, dude. If it's, you'll have this on video. It's recording. If it's not worth it, I'll pay you it.
Oh,
But I promise you, he puts together a package each month.
Yeah,
and you get three really good cigars. He tells you the entire story about each one, and one of those four is a so
Lucas has actually given me three packets of them. I have three packages of those ones, and I could say I smoked one of the entire one or whatever, and they were pretty incredible.
Of the Unicorn?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Oh, so then once you're done with those, I really recommend jumping on board to the program. Okay. He's got some crazy ones. Yeah, man. I just bought a couple boxes off him of some stuff that I just blew my mind from Nicaragua.
That's my favorite.
Cool. Cigar. I've been learning about that a lot too. Mm-hmm. Me too. You know what? You should try Pulpos.
Pulpos. Let me write that one down. Oh, I guess I got this on audio. I don't need to write it down.
And the world is a San Andreas record. Pulpo. It's made by AJ Fernandez. If you know cigars, you know AJ Fernandez is a legend.
I've seen his name.
Yeah, man.
He's like the Godfather cigars.
Yeah, he's done for. Yeah, Padilla, Padron. Like he's the Godfather cigars. Yeah, exactly.
Dude, I'm giving this a last drop too. This is incredible. Do you make bad bottles, by the way, or you just constantly just make good stuff, or like?
I have. I just never release them.
Oh, good man. Then okay.
Yeah, wise.
I never release them. I have no. I'm gonna be straight up, man. I made a batch that I was like, dude, I regretted it, and I was like, this is not what I want, and I took the entire loss of the entire lot. It's in my warehouse.
Damn. You're the Michael Jackson of tequila.
I just took
it
out. I just took it on the chin. I was like, whatever. Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes I give it out when people are like, it's really whiskey forward. And there wasn't the profile. If you're ever, you know, around or you're, I sell them for like super cheap and just cash to kind of like for petty cash, whatever, because I already report as a loss.
Mm-hmm.
But I never released it. I never sell it.
I'll buy one off you. I'm curious. You're my curiosity now.
Yeah, man. YouTube, super. It's just different, but I never like to really do it because it's like I don't want people to judge us by that.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to know if you make shitty products from now on, because it don't seem like you do. And I was just like, this is not fair. You got
to come. I try not to. I make mistakes. Yeah, of course. But I don't release it. I only release whatever it is. I honestly think I like this. This is good. Mm-hmm. And then I release it. Otherwise I don't release it just because, you know,
you got a great fucking palette then or whatever, because everything you release has been a banger after banger after banger. Then.
Well, that means you have a great palette, because if you think what we I think is a banger, palettes. Then
I think your shit is like phenomenal. I think you put a fucking rainbow of gold coins in this motherfucker, to be honest, or whatever. Like I think like whatever magic leprechaun shit you stuck in here, dude, it's this liquid gold. It's the nectar of the gods.
This is so dangerous. This is so dangerous. Just, I gotta, you know, put this bottle away.
Straight cocaine.
Away, yeah, it's basically. It's raccoon meth. Yeah, I see the.
Yeah. Yeah, and on that note.
I know. Eduardo.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us, brother, man. We
absolutely. Thank you so much, my friend.
This is awesome, dude.
Appreciate you both. Thank you guys so much, Cody. You know, I appreciate the love. I appreciate always the support, my friend. Really grateful for you guys to be telling our story and sharing our stuff. And I'm glad you guys get to enjoy it. It means everything.
It means everything that you put so much passion and love into it or whatever, because we will continue to keep buying and sipping on this.
Yeah. We are reaping the benefits, my friend.
Yeah.
For sure.
You've done
salud, amigos.
Salud, amigo. Brother, take care, and we'll talk to you next time, dude.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Appreciate you.
Cheers. Right, cheers, Alberto.
Cheers, brother. Oh man, Mr. Cody, as I pour a little bit more of this right here. Hold on,
yeah, yeah, let me top my glasses. Let me
just top it off a little bit, man.
Little, why not? Little sign off, real quick.
Man, people, Eduardo hit us with some magic right there. That was
what an episode, man. That was awesome. Shout out to Eduardo once again.
Yeah. Eduardo, special, man. Cabal,
that was special.
Man, people, you're going to love this right here, because that was really special. He gave us the 411 of some new releases.
Yep. Yeah, he dropped one.
Dropped it on the last
first
drop.
Ever on the last drop.
Dropped, yeah.
Exclusive announcement.
Exclusive.
Bringing out the Hovind later this year.
Me and Cody going to be
dope, bro.
Waiting by a door like we Scott Pilgrim shit. Like, yo, where that Hovind at? We're going to be like, bro. Birdman,
yes. Yo, where the Hovind at?
You know what? For short, Cody, where them hoes at? You know what I'm saying? where that hoe at?
I had a feeling you go there with that.
Oh, you know what? As Kendrick was saying, where that OVO at, baby? where that OVO at, baby? Soon. Man, dude, that dude, I always loved hearing him talk, man.
This is why I love buying his shit. Dude, because he does not fucker. He does not bullshit. He's not in it for the glint for it. It's truly passion for him. Mm-hmm. And I love his take on Mescal too. His thought process behind that. It's like, I'm just a fan of agave. He's not just putting a Mescal out there so just do a fucking Mescal, like, oh no, it's tequila.
Yeah.
Like, no, he's doing a Mescal because he loves the agave plant. He just wants to show what that expression can do. And so I love that methodology, man.
I said on the show, man, I absolutely love when he just talks about his love. I mean, he makes me want to buy the shit, you know? I mean, he talks.
Exactly.
He's a great salesman. I'll give you that. And like,
and he sold me on these bottles. I remember the first week where he's like, oh, you know, it's not good as the regular horse head, but he told me about the history, and I'm like, oh, never mind then.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you.
Oh, that's it.
I'm about to scrap that episode.
I said corrected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm about to air the fuck out that episode. Yeah. Like, hold on. Like,
I was like, what the fuck was I talking about?
You know, when he said the one note, we was like, oh, that's cool. And then he just kept going. We was like, well, damn, hold on. Yeah. Every part of the bottle got a little bit of history on it.
Every part of the bottle. Like, and I'm so glad he pointed out, too, like the actual Blanco is from. I never really paid like astute attention to that. But yes, dead ass right there. The actual fucking Blanco.
I even love the quote on the bottom. I love that quote, whatever. That quote is just incredible. I did not know this was a horseshoe, dude. How the fuck did I not see that?
Yeah, or the what do you call it? The thing on the saddle.
I forgot what the thing on the saddle is called. Whatever. You know what I thought this was, dude? You know when you go to a bar and they put that thing in there to pour it out, so it's like it's not like.
Spilling. Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. I thought this was at first,
whatever and shit. And I was just thinking in my head like, and then when he came in and schooled us, and I was just like, all right, well, fuck what I thought then.
Cabal, They got to be the best doing it, man.
Yeah.
Call me biased, whatever. Just because we interview Everardo right now, don't give a fuck. Don't care. I promise you, I'm not kissing ass. Cabal, I think they are the best doing it right now.
Oh, we can tell you this right now. It's the best mezcal ever. We can.
Oh, yeah, by far.
We can tell that.
That's a no-brainer. Yeah.
I don't give a damn how much you hype up other mezcals or whatever. Mm-hmm. We didn't have how many mezcals on this show?
We've had plenty.
We had plenty or whatever.
We've been drinking mezcals, like 5 years?
5 years almost, now? Pretty much? Yeah. And we got no bias on mezcal. We're not, even though we were new to mezcal coming into it, we ain't like, you know, in our first time drinking this shit. We like the smoke. We want that smoke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we want all the smoke.
We want all the smoke, whatever stuff. But when it came to them flavor profiles, we didn't want
them. I was like, oh.
Hell no.
This is what mezcal could be? Oh, shit, okay. Cabal mezcal, obviously.
That had so much flavor and uniqueness. It's such a winner.
That was just different, bro. And we will be talking more about that in a couple weeks, so don't you worry. Don't you worry there.
Dude, yeah, I'm in love with this.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta put this shit away, bro.
Yeah, it's gotta go away now. Yeah, I'm already I'm way below the horse.
I'm drinking enough.
I think I've had like 12 pours of this now.
Yeah.
Like in an hour.
Yeah.
I don't think that's good, is it?
This shit is dangerous.
Yeah, that's crazy. Hey, it's raccoon meth, baby. You know, it's just,
that NOM 1646, buddy.
Man, that is a... Mm. There's only four other distillers there at that NOM compared to where he was at before, where there was like, I'm exaggerating, but like 20 fucking distillers there and shit like that. There's only four there. So like he was saying, like they can focus more on like
more controlled process. Yeah.
So I thought that was perfect or whatever.
Oh, man.
Great. Oh, man. I love this quote on here. Class is earned, never purchased.
That's what he actually said that.
Yeah, that's what he said at the
bottom. He was talking about that.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, class.
He was talking about that. Yeah.
I love that quote, man. I absolutely love that quote, whatever. Shit, that might be next week's episode. I don't want to call it this week's, whatever.
I love it. Fuck it. I love that title. Yeah, hell yeah. Class is earned.
Yeah,
never purchase. He needs a t-shirt off.
Yeah,
that.
He needs to make a shirt.
Everardo, that right shirt. Now, make that fucking shirt.
even on the hat, you could put it on the side, dude.
Oh yeah.
Class is earned, never purchased. Like,
never purchase. Oh, man, that is the most baller fucking quote I probably heard in a long fucking time.
Damn, is Everardo?
That's a legendary quote right there.
Is he a rapper? he's been bars.
Yeah.
That
Edgar Allan Poe over here and shit.
He that Jay-Z of diamonds, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Don't you do that.
Got it from here. Hey, damn. Oh, man, dude. So we're going to get out of here now because I got nothing.
Oh, man, what a show.
Yeah,
show. That was awesome, man.
Thank you, Everardo, for gracing your presence here on the third week here of Cabal Month, the last shot. We got one more week left of Cabal Month, and we're doing the horse head. This is going to be the first horse head of the month.
Is this not one of those weird months? Or am I wrong?
No, that's next month. Late.
Oh, okay. That's next month. Okay.
Next month is one of those weird months.
All right. I thought it was one. Okay.
We got, next month, after the next week, whatever, the first is literally on the day of.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
Yeah. So,
there you go.
We will be doing the horse head barrel pick from Cork, the Añejo, here on the last drop. The only horse head we've done on this this month here, I think it's that and the extra Añejo, the only two that's kind of left over, I guess, whatever. I mean, you could probably find the Blanco Reposado, obviously, at Cork if you wanted to. But like you said, there's not in production anymore, except for special releases, which I purchased from Keg and Bottle, because I want that bottle now. But yeah, dude, this is... Thank you, Everardo. Thank you for Cabal, man.
Absolutely.
Thank you for gracing us with this gym. Cody, any final thoughts before we wrap this thing up here?
Oh, man, this has been an excellent month thus far, man. This is actually probably one of my favorite episodes we ever recorded. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
This is actually, this is a lot of fun.
If next week gets a last drop, this might be the first
month. I think it's the first, right?
Yeah,
the first full.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Especially from both of us. We've given the past 3 weeks, both of us have given last drops everything we have.
Yeah. Yep.
So if next week is a last
drop, this will be a first.
This is a one of a kind, and we'll tune in or whatever about that.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. But thank you for tuning in, everybody. We'll be back next week for Cabal and Mayho. I am your godfather, Whiskey. I'm JB.
I am the godfather of craft beer, Cody.
And like we always say, livers will never be the same.
And glasses will never be dry.